Okay, today we plan to go through James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. To the lowly and to the rich, Paul has something to say, or James, I'm sorry, James has something to say. So James is writing to dispersed Jewish believers. They're facing hardship. They've been relocated. They're not necessarily welcomed in their communities. They're hurting. Community has been disrupted. Persecution has broken out. So James is encouraging them. James is encouraging them. His readers can rejoice in their trials. They can count it all joy. That's what we looked at last week. Why can they count it all joy in the midst of their trials? Why can they rejoice in the midst of their trials? And we looked at that. There were four reasons we looked at. One was because their trials are a test. They're only for a time. When we take tests in school, they don't last forever. They seem to last a long time, but they don't last forever. They're over at some point. And so the trials are a test. They're only for a time. Also, they can rejoice because as a test, their trials actually show their faith to be genuine. They prove that their faith is genuine. They're proving it, just as a test proves that we know something. In our trials we go through, they prove that we're the real deal. We're grabbing a hold of the Lord. Also, trials serve to mature us. They bring us to a point where we realize, oh, we need the Lord. And in the process, we learn how to persevere. We learn how to endure. And we become more mature. And lastly, trials drive us to God. We can ask Him for wisdom. We have unlimited wisdom. We can ask Him for wisdom. And He gives it. He gives it freely as long as we don't doubt, as long as we say, Lord, I believe that you really exist, and you're loving, and you're all-powerful, and I believe that. And so we can ask for wisdom. We have unlimited wisdom available to each one of us because God has unlimited wisdom, and the source of all wisdom is God. And so there's a lot of reasons why we can rejoice. When a trial comes, it's like, yes! Yes! It's not going to last forever. And Lord, you're showing my faith to be genuine. I am going to stand strong. I'm not going to be totally swamped by this trial. And Lord, you have something you're working on in me. You want me to be stronger and you want to mature me. So I, yes. And then Lord, whatever I'm going through, I need discernment. I need wisdom. And we can ask Him for wisdom. So we can rejoice. I had multiple people tell me this week they had extra trials. It was like extra trials. You know, there's regular trials and then there's extra trials. We had extra trials. So extra size, super size fries and extra. And so it's like interesting. They were rejoicing. So it's like, yes, yes, yes. Give me the trials and whatever your purposes are, Lord. I'm not in charge of my life. You're in charge of my life, Lord. And I just respond to you. And I respond obediently. I just want to rejoice in you. So that's what last week was all about. And that's what the first 8 verses of James 1 was all about. Now let's stand, please. We're going to pray. We'll read through the next 3 verses. Ask Him for wisdom. Father, I thank you for, Lord, this passage we're about to read. Thank you for how rich this, Lord, this book is, and your word is. And so we pray, Father, for you to speak to us and help us to glean wonderful insights and to grow in grace and wisdom. So I pray, Father, that you give us understanding as we go through these 3 verses. And I pray, Father, you'd speak to us and mature us, continue to mature us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in verses 9 through 11, and here's what James says. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Please be seated. Good stuff. James addresses the lowly brothers, so lowly slash poor, and they also addresses the rich brother, and of course, brother and sister. So those who are rich. And so we're going to see something interesting here. Trials will sort of level the playing field here. To those who are lowly, to those who are poor in the context of facing trials, Paul declares, I got Paul in my notes. That's the problem. It's not Paul. It's James. James declares. You can go to the second service. It'll all be corrected. Totally corrected. James declares that they can glory in their exaltation. So despite the trial, they can approach God and ask him for wisdom. And this is exalting to the lowly. They are lifted up by what James is saying. They can glory. To glory means to boast in a privilege or a position, or possession rather. To glory in a privilege or a possession. And so they can glory in their exaltation, the reality of their awesome position. That in the midst of their trial, they've been scattered, rich, poor, Jewish people of all flavors, they're Jewish believers in Christ. And to the poor, James is saying, glory in your exaltation. In other words, your awesome position. You can approach the God of this universe and ask him for wisdom. And that is a glorious thing. And that's something we can glory in. And so trials sort of lift up the rich or the poor. And then we're going to see that they sort of humble the rich. So they lift up the poor. Again, they level the playing field. In society after society, money equates to special privileges and special possessions. In the kingdom of God, riches are not based on money. So spiritual riches are not based on money. They're based on faith. And faith boils down to trust in him. We trust in God. We trust in his promises. We trust in his word. We trust in him. That's what faith is all about, to really believe his word. You said it, and I believe it, Lord. I believe it. You said you're all powerful. I believe you're all powerful. You said you're all loving. I believe that you're all loving. Even in the midst of this trial, you're all loving. I believe that by faith. And that carries us through, helps to carry us through. And your word says you're all knowing. So I believe that you're all knowing. You know everything. And there is no limit to the wisdom that you have. So everything. And so I trust you. I believe that in my faith. That's what my faith is all about. Elijah the prophet, at one point in his life, he was poor, very poor. As per 1 Kings chapter 17, at one point he was fed by ravens in the wilderness. It's like, here he is in the wilderness, and the ravens are feeding him. The ravens are not high on the, shall we say, the pecking order in the world of birds and the world of animals and the world of what the Jews can eat, the Jewish people can eat. Ravens are actually not seen as really cool because they're scavengers. So here, this incredible prophet is fed by ravens who bring him the food. It's like, that's an interesting thought. And he's in the wilderness and the ravens. And again, they're not high on the totem pole of creation, shall we say. And then the brook dries up. He's able to partake of the brook every day. So the ravens and the brook. And remember, that dries up. And then he's provided for by whom? A widow, the widow of Zarephath. And so a widow who's not high on the totem pole as well, it turns out, in that society. And they're not seen as the rich and the famous. And so he's provided for by a humble widow from a town called Zarephath. But he was rich in faith, and he could do amazing things. He could confront the king. He could call fire down from heaven. He could call for a drought. He could call for the end of the drought. It's amazing the faith that he had. It's amazing the strength that he had as far as spiritually. He could take on the prophets of Baal. Actually, more also pronounced Baal, something like that, Baal. And so the prophets of Baal is common come and a pronunciation. He took them on, these false prophets, 400 of them, and he took them on. He said, okay, let's see who the real God is. I'm going to do something, you're going to do something. And let's see which God answers. And sure enough, God answered via fire, and accepted what he was offering to the Lord. Whereas the prophets of Baal, they were in pretty bad shape, and they had to scatter very quickly. So Elijah the prophet was poor, or at least a poor at that point, and yet he was spiritually rich. A great example for each one of us, a great encouragement for each one of us. Remember Mary and Joseph, what they offered when they came and gave their offering. It's a purification kind of offering that was given when Jesus was presented in the temple as a baby. And remember what the offering was? It said in Luke chapter 2, it was a poor man's offering. It was either two turtle doves or two young pigeons, as far as that's what they offered. That was the poor person's offering. It wasn't like a goat, you know, a lamb. It wasn't like a rich person's offering at all. So here's Jesus, the Lord of the universe, who takes the most humble of positions as he gave up the display, the splendor. He gave it all up. And he took on humanity. And so Jesus himself, in some ways, he was rather poor. And yet he was rich. And there's no limit to his riches in faith. So let's remember, there's nothing like a good trial to exercise and or to increase our faith. And if we are poor, or maybe we feel poor or whatever, may this be this passage and may a trial be something that really lifts you up. It's like, Lord, I can enter the throne. I can approach the throne of grace. I can do that. And that lifts us up like, Lord, I'm going through a tough time. I need you to give me clarity. I need you to give me strength. I need you to give me wisdom. And so for the lowly, there's the sense of exaltation. They are lifted up. And it's all in the context of trials, because trials are discussed before these three verses, and trials are discussed after these three verses. It's in the context of trials. So Paul has addressed the lowly, the poor, now for the rich. So let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. It's like, that's interesting. In verse 10, the rich in his humiliation, the rich glorying in their humiliation. So to those who are rich, they can glory in their humiliation, in their being brought low. Trials humble them. They remind the rich believer that they need the Lord. In our trials, we can't put our faith in riches. Riches will not come through for us. We can pay some bills, that's fine. But in the end, the deepest trials we have, riches are not the answer for us. Riches can't always bail us out. They're not long-lasting. Paul likens riches to the flowers and the flowering grasses of Palestine. They flourish in February, and yet they dry up by May. And he says this in verses 10 and 11. But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So the scorching hot wind, it's called a sirocco wind, that causes the flowers and the flowering grasses to wilt. So they're doing well in February. Any gardeners in our midst, they do really well in February, it turns out. But man, come May, they're just fried. They're not going to do well. They get fried. So this is the same wind that the prophet Jonah, he was all bummed out about, the sirocco wind. And remember that, the gourd that was there like overnight? and just in no time at all. And then God provided a worm to destroy the gourd, and the wind on Jonah's head. He goes, "I just want to die." And he was all mad. He was mad really ultimately at God. And usually when we're angry, there's sort of a subtle, I really don't like the cards God has given me today. I don't like the lot I have. I don't like something about what God has allowed in my life. We have to be careful about grumbling and complaining, because ultimately it's really potentially the Lord we're grumbling and complaining about. So there's Jonah, and it was an object lesson for him. It's like, hey, this gourd, it's just, you're all upset about the loss of this gourd. Well, you should be a whole lot more upset about the loss of the people of Nineveh, because they're valuable. And so it's a wonderful object lesson for Jonah and for each one of us. So it was the Sirocco wind that was just getting his forehead, and he was just out of strength. So the rich man and his riches, I'm sorry, the rich man and his riches, they eventually fade sooner or later. Each one of us die. We, no matter how rich we are, sooner or later it's going to happen, unless Jesus comes back and gathers us to be with him prior to our natural death. So there's this fading. No matter what it is, the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits, according to verse 11. So there's a fading that takes place. I heard just even before the service, there was a tragic accident in Grand Rapids over the weekend. And it had to do with a jet-powered, like, truck kind of thing and a special event. And there were, pyro techniques or whatever. And things got out of control, and somebody died actually in the midst of that. And so it's like, man, what a reminder. We do not know how long we have. We don't know how long we have. We don't know when a heart attack can take us. We don't know when an accident can take us. And so every day we are to live with a sense of dependence on the Lord. Because any day we could come before him. It's like all of a sudden we're giving a report. For a believer, we come before the judgment seat of Christ. We give a report of our lives. And we want to give the best of reports. You know, we don't want to spend a lot of time. In fact, I'm not convinced there will be a lot of time spent on our fleshly pursuits. But we want to be able to give a lot of time to the things we've done. And it's like, I've done one good thing in my life. It's like, no, we want to basically say, Lord, this is what I've done with my life. And he knows everything anyway, but there's a time to report in. And we want to be able to report and have a lot to say. Lord, when I went through this trial that was so painful, and yet you gave me grace, and I grew so much. Thank you for that trial. And the kinds of interactions we could have when we see the Lord. It's like, whoa, you even think about it. It's like, that's pretty mind-blowing and amazing to think about. So true riches, they are rooted in faith. They're rooted in faith. They're not rooted in money. Money is needed. We need to take good care of it, be stewards of it, be wise with it, use it for generosity, etc. But it's not ultimately where our faith should lie as far as what we put our faith in. Number of related passages here. Jesus says this about riches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Whoops. Here we go. Jesus says this, Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So he's talking about materialism or material things and the things we need, the things we want, and all of this, the what we wear, what we eat, etc. And Jesus is saying, seek first, number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, a righteous living and right standing before him. We have that in Christ, but we also want to live righteously, reflecting that standing. And all these things shall be added to you. So he knows what we need. He knows the things we need. He knows the clothes we need. We need to have a roof over our head or you know, some kind of provision as far as food and clothing, and actually the roof over our head isn't even promised, but it's nice to have it. So he knows the things we basically need. So we're to be good stewards, and we're to ask him when we're in need. It's like, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, even the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We ask you for the bread we eat. We ask you for the food, the clothing, the basic money to come in to pay bills. We pray, Father, for grace as far as the jobs we have. Open up a new door. Close whatever door you want to close. Open up whatever door you want to open. And we just seek you in the midst of it. We put you first. In Proverbs, which is attributed to King Solomon, there are, remember that King Solomon had basically unlimited riches. And in Proverbs, King Solomon says this, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. So there's this sense of the brevity of riches in our lives. And I spoke with someone not too long ago who lost quite a bit of the portfolio over the last recent times. And I remember speaking with someone else who years ago who said, boy, my 401k has become a 101k. And so there's different things that can take place. Some people get very rich based on stock market investments, etc. And other times people lose their shirts. And so sometimes it's like, let's not put our faith in those things. And it's amazing how quickly they can depart. In the NIV, it says, cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. I love the wording of that. It's like, cast but a glance at riches, and they're gone. You can glance, they're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. We can be the richest person in the world, but if we're going to die tomorrow, does it mean anything? Do we carry our riches with us? And it's been said many times, you never see a hearse followed by a U-Haul truck. And you just never see you can't take your stuff with you. And so, cast but a glance at riches, and they're gone. But they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. So all the more reason we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now the verse prior to that verse is Proverbs 23, verse 4. And it says this, do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. And so let's not overwork. The NIV says, don't wear yourself out to get rich. Don't wear yourself. Don't burn out over money. Do not do it. So it's like, Lord, you're guarding me. You're speaking to me and you're guarding me. I want to put you first. I want to seek first your kingdom, whatever that means, however that means, as far as whatever you want for me. I am willing to put you first. And I want to put you first. Because, man, riches don't last forever. We who have the riches in our possession, we don't last forever. So our riches, who knows what happens to them? One of the saddest things I hear is when there's some kind of infighting over an inheritance. And it's like, it is sad stuff. And people start duking it out. I was speaking with someone actually at the tent, and it wasn't someone in our church. It wasn't someone that anyone that has ever been in this setting, and there was a death in the family and all sorts of infighting taking place. And it's like, man, that's sad, as far as all over the inheritance, who gets what. And I don't think you're being, you know, upstanding. And it's like, and then all these accusations to try to get someone to resign from their position or whatever, and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. It's amazing what people will do for money. But remember, the money will not last, whereas character lasts forever. I'd much rather have character with less than a lot of money, but not much character. And so we want to basically take the things with us that we can into eternity. And we can take our faith into eternity. And we can take the people we've led to Christ into eternity. We can take the fruit that's been born, the cups of cold water given in the name of Christ. We can take that into eternity. So it may not look big from this perspective, but it's big as far as in the eyes of God. All that we can take into eternity. So the bottom line for us is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him first in every way. Put him first. It's like, Lord, what does that mean? How do I apply that to my life? And it's like, well, we just need God's wisdom as far as how best to do that. Does that mean I just never work again and I just always pray? It's like, it could, I guess, but in general, in general, God still provides us jobs and we're provided for via the work that we perform. In other cases, there's other benefits. We've invested into Social Security for all these years, and in some ways that comes back to us at a certain time. Bottom line is, let's put him first in every way. Let's put him first. So personal application. In any trial you're facing, are you growing in faith? Are you growing in the context of a trial that you're going through, or maybe you reflect upon or reflecting upon a trial you've just gone through? Or maybe you're being prepared for a trial that you will go through. Who knows? So in any trial you're facing or will face, are you or will you grow in faith? If things are tight for you, as far as from a poor versus rich perspective, are you allowing trials to lift you up? It's like, boy, I've got a privileged status. I can enter into that throne room of grace. I can ask God for wisdom. And that is something to keep our chins up about. Keep them high. If things are not tight, in other words, there's just been so many practical blessings as far as the things a person has or whatever, are you allowing those trials to humble you, to actually bring you low and realize, oh man, I just can't put my faith in these riches. They're here today, gone tomorrow. They're not faithful. And I want to put my faith, Lord, afresh in you in every way. So I want to be humbled. I don't want to rely on the riches to get me through. Then next question, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? In every sphere of life, are you seeking him first? So if someone's a student on campus, are you seeking him first? Whatever your jobs are, if you have a job at this time, are you seeking him first in the context of that job? If you have relationships, as far as whatever relationships you have in the context of family and home or in the neighborhood or any other extended family relationships or whatever, are you seeking him first? Regarding our thought life, are we seeking him first? Regarding finances, are we seeking him first? Lord, help me to be a good steward. Help me to take good care of that which you've entrusted in my care. But help me not to serve the things that you've lent me during my very short time here on planet Earth. Help me to bring you glory with everything I have. So are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Regarding any sins of the flesh, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Regarding anything you're worried about, are you choosing instead to seek first the kingdom of God? And when we seek him first, the things we worry about tend to go away as far as the worries that we have, because there's peace given to us in the context of seeking after him. And then lastly, are you steering clear of wearing yourself out to get rich, as far as the whole idea of just overworking in order to get rich? And it's like, there could be times to be busy. We are busy with that fireworks tent, incredibly busy. And yet there's a lot of grace upon all the folks who've come there. We've had over 20 volunteers from the church and from the church relationships that the church has. And it's like, that's amazing what has taken place there. And so we're busy, and yet we're not wearing ourselves out to get rich. And so, in fact, we're not getting anything out of it. It's a nonprofit. It's just a neat kind of thing. It's a charity event. And so are you steering clear of wearing yourself out to get rich? So let's be careful as far as the enticements of the things of this world, because the things of this world will not last anyway. Who knows what will happen to American dollars in the long run, and when there will be an ultimate worldwide currency, et cetera, et cetera. And so the dollars that we really, that we cling to, who knows how fast, you know, how fast they can depart. There's a friend I have who came to the fireworks tent, and he looked at one of the reloadables, and he said, $174. And he said, boy, and how long does it last? In fact, he looked at another one that was 170, what was the last dance? 179? Yeah, $179, it lasts 2 minutes. That's seen as a long time in the world of fireworks. Yet it's here today and gone tomorrow. $179 has just departed. Amazing how fast it departs. So he pulled out his wallet and he took ones and he goes, in 2 minutes, I can get rid of $179. He started throwing them on the parking lot. He's like, yeah, here I do it. Yeah, I can do it. And so that, here's my fireworks, 179 times. I'm having fun. So it's like, wild. So let's put him first in everything. He's a wild guy. So let's put him first in everything. Put God first. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time in your word. Help us to put you first, Lord, in everything we go through. Help us in our trials, Lord, to seek after you. Lord, to be lifted up as far as we can come into your presence, but also to be sort of put down as far as humbled, because it's a reminder of how we cannot put our faith in riches and our talents or anything else. And so, Lord, I pray that in the midst of our trials, we would especially seek you first in a special, special way and draw close and even closer to you. Lord, if anyone is listening to this message on the internet, maybe in another country, or maybe stateside, I pray, Father, if anyone is yet to come to a point of believing in you, in your Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd instill in this person a desire to seek true riches, to really put you first, to seek you first, to give his or her life to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you gave your life for each one of us. You died on the cross for us so that we can have a relationship with God the Father and with God the Son and with God the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you so much for what you've done for us, the forgiveness, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the fullness of your Holy Spirit. It's all available for us or to us. And we just thank you so much for that. Help us, Lord, to serve you, to seek you in every way. And so I pray, Father, for anyone who's searching, that they would really seek you first, and Lord, that they would find you and they'd respond to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.